I am prone to exaggeration every now and then, aren't I, Bill?
Jeff, who would say that about you?
Come on. I'm even in your, apparently I'm in your book. I'm in your book.
Well, you know what? Take me out of it. Nobody else would say it.
How you doing?
Good, Jeff. Good to talk to you. Yeah, it's been a while.
It has. You know, one of the things that kind of fascinates me, you know, your progression as a baseball executive. You know, you started out as a guy who was a player, and you worked your way up the ranks to become a major league executive. What kind of interests me, Bill, and I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but it seems more and more that we're getting guys who become, and I'm not pointing anybody out here by any stretch of the imagination, but we're getting guys who become general managers or even assistant general managers who don't have that background of, you know, playing in a league, being a teammate, having someone, you know, move them down in the order, having someone bench them, trying to play a day game after a night game, or try to play a game when they're hurt. And I'm wondering if maybe we aren't losing something by the fact that a lot of executives now haven't gone through sort of the, you know, the ups and downs, the blood, sweat, and tears of being a player.
Well, I think you could look at it either way. I think it's good to have any type of experience. But I don't think that it's bad that, you know, or should be a disqualifier for somebody that doesn't have playing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Are we losing something? Yeah, you can probably say that a little bit, but I think over time, you know, and just being around, it's that you can gain some baseball experience. What's gone on is, and I've seen it through my career, and now that I'm an old guy, you know, I'm at that stage, I guess, where I give advice and mentor and all this other stuff, is that that you can see how it's happened is that all these positions in the front office, you know, those positions have multiplied. Now there's a way to get into the upper levels of baseball operations with general manager, assistant GM, just right through the office.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into the office, even as an intern, I mean, you're dealing with major league issues. And whether it's your statistical analytical evaluations or research and whatever you're doing, that stuff is right for, you know, people at the major league level. So you're already working with them to begin with. And so it's just natural that this has happened.
You know, Bill, reading the book, you know, it's and I made the point, I don't know the title, it's not necessarily a manual because there's a lot of anecdotal stuff. There's a lot of, it's like there's a lot of your analysis of how you, you know, become successful as a baseball executive and how you maintain that level of success. But there's also an awful lot of anecdotes and an awful lot of stories in this as well. When you sat down to write this book, how much did you want it to be, you know, a guide for people, but also sort of, you know, a book that has a bit of a narrative to it?
I wanted both of that. I mean, you're talking about that's the struggle that I found out of being an author. I just thought, you know, people that built railroads and stuff had a tough job and a lot of work. When you're an author trying to craft something in that way, it's really, really difficult. And especially for me, with no experience being an author and thinking that I could write a little bit, but at the same time, you know, not knowing if I could, and trying to do that. And I wanted, what I try to do with the stories in the book is that I try to write them in a fashion of the, or from the perspective of the inexperienced student learning it.
Mm-hmm.
So in some of these things, like, you know, when, you know, I'm with the Yankees and hey, if you want to learn how they were taught how to scout before Jeter, Posada, and Pettit, and Rivera, and all these guys showed up, well, that's the way they taught us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that system, that's what was important for me is in this day and age of all the quantitative analysis, is some of this qualitative analysis need to be preserved and you know, held in there that a lot of baseball guys have. They just don't write a lot of books.
Right.
The analytical guys write a lot of books.
That's very true.
And they write a lot of books. So I didn't need to write anything about the quantitative analysis and research and analytical study. That's already been done plenty of times. What the qualitative really needed or needed to be there and someone to read. And I mean, Clint Hurdle the other day just texted me, you know, the blue. Reading the book again, he looks at it and he said, or I look at my text and it says, you know, I think a lot of people in baseball should be reading this, not just the people trying to get in. And I looked at it and that felt good to see that from Clint.
You know, one of the things that has, and I talked to Alex a little bit about this when he was here, but you know, it's one thing to get a job in baseball. But it's another thing to be in the game for 20 years or 30 years or 35 years and you know, survive general managers being fired or, you know, even ownership changes. What is the key, Bill, to being happy personally and professionally when you have a career in baseball? Because you are going to have setbacks at some point. And I'm wondering what keeps people in it. You know, at some point, because there's, you know, there's a lot of bus riding when you're in the minors. You know, I mean, you're staying in a lot of, you know, you're driving a lot when you're scouting, staying in a lot of different hotels, and it's not all the Taj Mahal. You know, there's got to be something, some sort of common thread that keeps people in this business to the point where they'll even take a step back sometimes, right, to stay in the business, thinking that there's always something better up the road.
Well, either that or just thinking that they love the game. So no matter what happens, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to have to work to support your family and earn a living, that's the best job I could think of is working in baseball. You know, something that has anything to do with baseball. And I think that's the way that the most successful people look at it, or the people certainly that are the most, you know, around the longest, is they just say, hey, I'm working in baseball. Whatever I have to do to be in baseball, that's where I'm going to work because I love the game and I love being around it. So you put up with the travel and you put up with the hours and whatever else. It just cracks me up, though, for people that have not worked in the industry and think, you know, first of all, they show up to the ballpark when you're working there. And they, you know, I don't know how many times somebody would say, hey, you want a beer? And I'd say, well, I'm actually working. You know, I'm not here to watch a game and have cotton candy.
And in the old days, though, there'd be guys that'd go, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's true. Well, if you're in Ottawa with Howard Darwin, Howard and I.
Yeah, you had no choice.
He used to make me. he was the owner. He made me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved him. But no, that's the thing as far as you have a love for the game and you'll put up with anything. And believe me, if you don't love it, even the Taj Mahal is going to get boring there for a while.
Bill, how important is it to have somebody that has your back in an organization? You know, I mean, I called it a champion. But, you know, you talk to people who've had long careers in baseball, there always seems to be that guy that they could call up and say, you know, hey, this is happening. What do you think I should do? And how important is it to have that person? And who are some of your mentors, the people you could call up and go, you know, what do you think here?
Well, I think they're really important. To be honest with you, a lot of people would not have their jobs today if it wasn't for people like that. People very high up in organizations and even running them wouldn't have them. And that's the old saying that the scouts used to say. When I started, I was a younger scout, and these guys were all. I've been right in the middle of this whole transition. So I've seen where it was all baseball and basically flipped right over now where there's a lot of, I would say, more, you know, academic guys that have gone in and more statistical analysis. But they used to say back then, you know, the scouts used to say, find a horse and ride him.
Right, right.
And that was the old scout saying that they needed to get in with a guy that they thought could help their career, and that's the way they'd go. You know, from a information standpoint and having a mentor, and there's too much involved in baseball to even understand, to go out and just study it yourself and become a genius. That's not ever going to happen.
Right.
I mean, you need people around you. And that's what I mean. There's no, there's not a lot of places to even find research on baseball and what's going on. That these secrets are held by baseball people as something they just don't give up.
Well,
Felipe Alou might tell you, you know, a few things here and there. But he's not just writing everything down and saying, here's what I know. They just don't do that.
No.
And so you need those people there with you.
And one of the things I like about your book is, you know, you point out, and I think this is particularly helpful for a lot of people, because, you know, you talk about going to the winter meetings and things like that. You point out, hey, there are pathways to having a career in baseball. Just because you don't get hired by Organization X doesn't mean that it's over. I mean, you know, there's the commissioner's office. You can get into business operations. It's a practical book. If you're interested in having a career in baseball, it's a practical book and the different pathways to get into the game. And I think sometimes we overlook that there are a lot of ways to get in the game and have a career in the game. And once you've been in it for a while, you know, Bill, I mean, you can cross over, right? I mean, we see that quite often. Guys go from business operations. Hell, we see guys go from media relations to become assistant general managers.
Well, I've got a chart in the book that'll show you. I mean, Theo Epstein, he's done a lot here in a short amount of time. I mean, the guy from, whether it's from, in Boston and Chicago, those are the longest droughts in baseball history.
Mm-hmm.
But to go from media relations in Baltimore to media relations, really PR in San Diego, that's really, I think, is where he went over there is that for a short amount of time, then flipped right into baseball operations. But that's the thing. That's where, you know, people don't understand that. But that's the first chapter of the book, really, is telling, you know, where Tommy Lasorda says, are you tough enough? You know, are you willing to put up with all the long hours? And are you willing to basically saying, can you take all the punches in the stomach? And, you know, delay is not denial. And so if you got to get into the organization and in one area, that's just what you have to do for your path. Your path may be a little bit longer. And but a lot of people get weeded out. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that want to work in professional sports. I really want to work in professional, but they're not willing to do what you have to do to work in professional sports.
People who have listened to this show, we've had FP Santangelo on frequently. The story about FP Santangelo and FP Santangelo, kind of the move that finally got him up to the major leagues. I think some of our listeners would really be interested in that, because but I had no idea, Bill, that, I mean, you essentially somehow, and knowing FP a little bit at that time, I'm still not entirely sure how you did it, but yeah, you essentially got FP to think like a major leaguer when he was at the tail end of being a career minor leaguer, didn't you? And that's...
I don't know. Yeah, Jeff, I don't know that I did it. I think FP, that's what impressed me standing in the outfield in Ottawa, is that, you know, when FP came up to me and basically was saying, hey, I want out. If you guys aren't going to do anything with me, let me go play with somebody else. And when he did that, that really showed me the type of confidence, because you're not going to play at the major league level unless you really have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the major league level, guys will have confidence. I've seen them crumble like you wouldn't believe. They run around looking like a 7-year-old after they start scuffling at the big league level, and guys like Jeff Blair start hammering them.
Wow.
So, yeah, well, I had to throw you in there, Jeff.
I know, but really hammer,
no,
FP.
That's what I mean. So when a player does that for you and really shows you how confident, then you know, well, at least he believes he can do it.
Right. Well, you had him do, you made him sign autographs, didn't you? Like, tell us that story a little bit.
Well, that's getting into the story. Basically was, I got to say, the story starts out where you write an article.
That's right.
This is a long story now.
Well, it was a good source. Basically, I wrote an article.
It is the best story. It's the best story in the book.
Well, okay. But we could. I basically wrote an article saying that quoting a source in the organization, the Jays or the Blue Expos organization, saying there wasn't anybody at the AAA level that could help the team. And this was.
Right. Help the club in Montreal.
And you were dispatched to Ottawa to find the person?
No, no. I actually went to Ottawa because I knew I had problems now because everybody there was going to be upset.
Right.
Including the clubhouse guy that thought he should go to Montreal at some point. It was probably the peanut vendor was trying to work his way up to Montreal. He was probably upset. But, so I had to go in and calm everybody down.
But you did. I mean,
but you know what, Jeff? I'll give you credit, though. And I always said this throughout my career when I left Montreal, wherever I went, is I always said, that Jeff Blair, man, that guy, I'm telling you, he knew everything that was going on in our organization. Because when I would walk into the clubhouse in Montreal and you'd come up and you'd say, you know, whatever, you'd ask me a question and I'd walk away going, you know, this guy, who is somebody? This guy has got like a pipeline in here.
It did have a couple of good sources.
He must have three or four people telling, and I know who a couple of them probably were, but it's you really knew what was going on, and your listeners need to know that. You knew exactly what was going on in our organization at all times.
Well,
that was my first experience with a guy that knew what was going on internally in the organization. Because even in Los Angeles, in my time with the Dodgers, there weren't people that knew stuff like, you know, that you knew that was going on. So that's a credit to you, I guess. It was a pain in the butt having to deal with it.
But I apologize
for
that.
At the same time, no, not at all. Come on. Long time ago.
I was going to say, though, but FP, I mean, the story about FP coming up and Felipe, I'll cut it short because we're running up against clock here. But basically, you're in Felipe's office. Felipe's filling out the lineup card. Felipe puts Santangelo's name in. He has just come up from Ottawa. You want to know why? And Felipe said, well, basically, when I showed up, the parking attendant said, oh, this Santangelo guy's been here since noon. And Felipe's approach was, well, if he's been here since noon, he must want to play.
Yeah, he's more ready to play than anybody else I got in this clubhouse.
That's tremendous.
And I almost fainted. I almost fainted because FP told me, it's not in the book, but one of the things we talked about that night is after we told them is FP said he had never been to Montreal.
Right.
And I said, FP, you played in Ottawa 3 years. What do you mean you never? Because I told them, how are you going to get there? Are you going to take the train? Are you going to drive up? What are you doing? And he goes, I don't know. I've never been there. And I said, well, don't you guys on an off day in Ottawa, you go watch the Big League Club and in Montreal? And he said, yeah, a lot of guys did. But I always said, the only time I'm going to Montreal is when I'm a member of the Expos. That's when I'll go to Montreal.
Yeah, the true story, though, is FP was going over to Hull instead of going to Montreal.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what I should say
in terms of
the story. It's a great story. I don't want to give a lot of it away at the same time of just, I'll tell you this, is FP Santangelo did not know a lot of that story until he read it.
That's very true.
And he called me right away. He said, you know, because I had no idea all that stuff was going on. I said, yeah, there was a lot going on there. And for a guy who's, you know, 7 years in the minor leagues, that was the seventh season where we called him up. And to see the joy in that, that's one of the things that I'll cherish for my career, for people that are trying to get into sports, to be able to see players when you either see them in high school or college beforehand, watch them all the way through the minor leagues, and then watch the night where they realize their dream and their parents are there and how happy everybody is. That's something that I'll take as probably the most special part of working in sports.
Yeah.
Not, you know, playing in, you know, World Series against Boston.
The thing about baseball and baseball management is, I mean, there are a lot of ways to find your rewards. Bill, listen, we got to run. It was great talking to you again. It's a terrific book. Best of luck with it. The book is titled Do You Want to Work in Baseball? Inside Baseball Operations by Bill Guyvet. Bill, thanks a lot for doing this, man. Good to see you.
No, not at all. Thank you for having me, Jeff, and good talking to you.
Take care.
And great show. So continued success.